All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Kuf Yud 110. And we are picking up on Kuf Yud 110. Second line down from the top. Amar Rava. So we'll say the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rava. Hashal Leman Damar Kav Yusad Demana Belo Klumhum. So remember again, we left off yesterday with an interesting interpretation, ultimately, of the Machlokes Tina Belazar and the Rabbanon, in talking about a case, ultimately, again, where you put the two half-pras amounts of the Ketores into one Kli. And the Shaila being, does the Kli unite the two pieces into one or not? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Hashta Leman Da'amar Kvi'usa Demana Velo Klumu. So it's according to the opinion who says that putting two separate pieces into one utensil does not unite them into one cohesive entity. So listen to this. Kaba shisha lepar umashach mehen arba. So we'll say the Gemara is not talking about over here wine libations. Nesachim. Now, different types of animal offerings have different amounts of wine. Remember, again, we're measuring wine in lugin. Have different amount of lugin per nesach. So, for example, let's say the following situation. I'm offering up a par. I'm offering up a cow. A cow normally comes with a 6-lug nesach. A six lug wine libation. So I went ahead and I set aside 6 lugin for my par. Umashach mehen arba vikrivan bachos. And Abba say, then what do? I take 4 lugin out of that 6 and I offer it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the halacha? Abba say, is that called ha'ala bachos? Is that called offering a karban bachos? To which the Gemara says, yes, chayiv, and I'll tell you why. Shiru'uyin la'ayil. Because Abba say, it happens to be that what's 4 lugin? 4 lugin is the amount of wine that you would offer up as an esach offering for a ram. So therefore, if you originally had 6 set aside for the par, I was going to do that inside the Beis HaMikdash. I separate out 4 lugin, offer it up outside the Beis HaMikdash. I will be chayiv for ha'ala'a b'chutz, because that is the amount ultimately again for an ayil. Similarly, kava arba la'ayil, umashach me'en shlosha. We'll say if I'd set aside 4 lugin as the nesach for the ayil, and then what happens? I separate out 3 of those lugin, and I offer it up outside the Beis HaMikdash. I'll also be chayiv. Why? Sheru'uyin lekeves. Because what if I was bringing a sheep, I would bring 3 lugin. Next, I will say, but now let's say I set aside 3 lugin for the keves inside the Beis HaMikdash. Chasru kol shu v'krivan b'chutz pater. So we'll say, in that case, if I had 3 lugin, and then I separated out some of that, and I offered it up outside the Beis HaMikdash, I would be pater, for there would be no ha'ala b'chutz. So we'll say, why not? Because there is no such thing as nesachin that are less than 3 lugin. Remember, again, Rabbi said, this is going to be the principle that we've espoused a number of times and that we're going to highlight again today, which is you are only chayiv for doing something b'chutz if what? If halacha l'maisa, the avoda, would have been kasher bifnim. If it would have been good inside the Beis HaMikdash, then you are chayiv for doing it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But if technically, again, the avoda is not good inside the Beis HaMikdash, then by definition it is meaningless outside. So if you were to take less than 3 lugin of wine and offer it up outside the Beis HaMikdash, such an amount does not exist in the realm of Nesachim, and therefore you are pater. Rav Ashi says, Nisuch me'aktara lo yafi rabbanan. Rav Ashi says that the rabbis do not learn the halachos of Nisuch from the halachos ultimately again of Haktara, of burning. So the Gemara says, Afal gav, dechutz michutz, haktara me, the Yeshidim Gubetzis takes out those next words, lo yalfi, haktara me haktara yalfi, afal gav, dechutz mifnim. So I'll say, ultimately, the Gemara says as follows. See, even though, again, we're talking in both situations about things that are done outside, nevertheless, you can learn out one act of haktara. We'll say haktara refers to burning, to offering up, from another act of offering up, even though ultimately, again, one is done on the inside and one is done on the outside. Fine. V'kulan shechasru. So we'll say this is the next part of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, V'kulan shechasru Bekulan shechasru. Just find the lashon over here. Bekulan shechasru kolshu bekriva b'chutz patar. So we'll say what the Mishnah seems to be saying is as follows: that halacha lemaisa, if you had something, if you had a carbon of sorts, whatever it is, and the shear of the carbon became deficient, and then ultimately again it was offered up outside, one is patar. It will say at first glance what the Mishnah seems to be saying is exactly what we said before, which is you're only going to be chayiv for doing something b'chutz if the same exact avoda would have been effective bifnim. If it would have been effective bifnim, then you're going to be chayiv for doing it b'chutz. If it's chaser, so the assumption is it's going to be pasul bifnim, and therefore you're not chayiv b'chutz. So let's analyze this. Ibailu, let's ask the following question. Chisaron d'chutz shmei chisaron o lo shmei chisaron? We'll say, now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. What happens if the sacrificial item, when it was taken out of the Beis HaMikdash, was quote-unquote shalem, was whole, but then it became deficient outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and then you offer it up? So are you chayiv or not? Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi almost right across to the right. Chisaron d'chutz, hotzion shlemim d'chutz. You took out the carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, complete. V'chasro the ibud, and then whatever, you lost part of it, or part of it got destroyed, and then you offered it up, ultimately, again, in its deficient state. So look at Rashi, Shmei Chisaron, V'mhela es ha-meshuyer b'chutz pater, Olo Shmei Chisaron, V'chayiv l'rabanin kilu kemkos. We'll say, see, here is the fundamental shayla. So look back at the Gemara for just a moment. So, Ibaylu Chisaron, D'chutz Shmei Chisaron, Olo Shmei Chisaron. So we'll say, if ultimately, again, if the carbon is whole, when you take it out, but then it becomes deficient on the outside, is Chisaron, D'chutz Shmei Chisaron, Olo Shmei Chisaron? So what's the shayla? It was actually an interesting chakira. Mi Aminon, Kevan D'Nafek, if Siluluhu, Mali Chaser, Mali Yeser. So we'll say, do we say like this? On one hand, once you take a sacrificial item outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then what? It becomes possible. So I'll say, so meaning you're offering up something that is invalid already. The idea of taking it outside, by definition, invalidates it. So what does it matter if it's shalem or if it's chasr? In other words, it would seem to be, once you take it, meaning once you remove it and it's shalem, then ultimately, once you remove it and it's shalem, then halacha lemaisa, it doesn't really matter what happens to it, because it is it is pasul already. So, odilma, yotze di'isei bi'inei in, d'lesei bi'inei lo. Or what do we say? No. The only time, ultimately, again, you're going to be chayiv is when the carbon, and when I say carbon, I mean sacrificial item, whatever it is, because remember, it doesn't have to be an animal carbon, it could be a mincha also, but it has to be intact. Which I will say, to further refine that wording a little bit, what it means, what essentially the shayla is do we say that the identity of an item that is offered up b'chutz is solidified and concretized at the moment that it's taken out, and therefore, again, any subsequent deficiency that occurs to the item is really irrelevant? Or do we say no, that item essentially has to mirror something that's done bifnim? Just like if it's done bifnim, one will only be chayiv until when? One will only be chayiv if halacha lemaisa, again, it's intact all the way until the point in time in which it's offered up. And if it becomes deficient any time before that, so ultimately, again, it's invalid. So to outside, you're only going to be chayiv b'chutz if it remains intact all the way until the point of halach. That's the shayla. So I'm Rabbi Abaye says, Tashma, Rabbi Eliezer Poter, Ad Yakriv Eskulon. So as we learned in a brisa that Rabbi Eliezer paters, he says that you're pater for shchut echutz until you go ahead and you offer everything up, the entire amount up. Amri Rabbi Barachana Rabbi, Mid Rabbi Lazar Pashitmar. I don't understand why you're answering this question from Rabbi Eliezer. Amar le beferish shmiya le mine derav. So we'll say, remember again, Rabbi Eliezer's shita is obvious. Rabbi Eliezer holds that in order to be chayiv for shchutei chutz, so ultimately the item has to be fully intact. So why are you bringing up that? Amar le beferish shmiya le mine derav. Ad kan lo pligi rabban le Rabbi Eliezer ela di isei be'enei. Ava b'chisaron modile. So we'll say, yeah, we learned explicitly that what? That the Rabbanon only argue with Rabbi Eliezer when the item is fully intact. But if the item is deficient, then ultimately, again, they agree with Rabbi Eliezer that one will not be chayiv for shchutei chutz. To which the Gemara says, "Lav dechaser b'chutz." Are we not talking about a case where ultimately the item became deficient outside of the Beis HaMikdash? In other words, it was taken, when it was taken out, it was whole, and subsequently became deficient outside the Beis HaMikdash, which also would seem to indicate that everyone's agreeing that if it became deficient outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then what? Then what? Then ultimately, again, one would not be chayiv. To which the Gemara says, "Lo." The chaser bifnim, not necessarily, it could very easily be that it became chaser on the inside and you took it out like that. Maybe that's the case where everyone agrees that if halacha lemaisa, it was already deficient on the inside and then you took it out, then of course you will be pater for that. To which the Gemara says, Tashma, bekulon shechaser vekriva b'chutz, lab de chaser b'chutz, because I see the Gemara quotes the rice again. Anything that became chaser and was offered up on the outside, your potter, lab de chaser b'chutz, are we not talking about a case where it became deficient ultimately outside? To which the Gemara says, lo, de chaser bifnim. Not necessarily, could be talking about a case where it became chaser inside the Beis HaMikdash. So I will say, so this actually is an important nekuda. This actually is a very important point to be. So what is the halacha? What is the halacha? Meaning, what happens if, let's say, the carbon itself at the time when you're offering it up outside the Beis HaMikdash is not complete, is incomplete, is deficient? Is one chayif for ha'alah b'chutz or not? So the Rebbe said, the Rambam paskins, this is in Masa Karbanos, Perek Yutes, Halacha Tes. The Rambam says, so the Gemara says, I'll read to you the whole Rambam. V'kriv she'irasan b'chutz pater. So as I said, Rambam paskins that halacha lemaisa, if the sacrificial item became chaser bifnim, v'hikriv b'chutz, because remember, there are two cases. Case number one is where the item became deficient inside the Beis HaMikdash and was then taken out. Case number two is where the item was whole inside, taken out whole, and became deficient outside. So in case number one, where the sacrificial item became deficient inside the Beis HaMikdash, then you took out the remainder and offered it up outside. The Rambam says, I'm thinking like a Dafyomi drum roll, right? Potter. One is potter for that. So again, I will say, if the carbonic item became deficient inside the Beis HaMikdash, remainders taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash and offered up, the halacha is your potter. Shari ne'amar, la'asos oso, ala shalim hu chayiv ve'enu chayiv ala chaser. On the other hand, hotziu shalim v'chaser b'chutz ve'la. I will say, what happens, however, if it was taken out whole and then became chaser outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says, hareze safik. The Rambam says it is a safek, lefichach eina loke. Therefore, a person will not get malchus. So, we'll say, interestingly enough, in the case of where it becomes chaser bifnim, and hotziyo b'chutz, Rambam paskins potter, hotziyo shalim, and nechser b'chutz, becomes chaser outside, safek, and therefore, again, you don't get malchus. Good, says the Gemara. Ha-makriv kachim. So remember, this is the last part of the Mishnah. Ha-makriv kachim ve-emurin b'chutz chayiv. We'll say if one goes ahead and offers up kachim and emurin. So remember again, the case of the Mishnah, Rashi explained, was a situation where the meat of the basar, was still attached to the emurin are the sacrificial parts that are burnt on the Mizbeach, as opposed to the basar, which is consumed. Let's say you did not detach them. You burnt them together on the Mizbeach. So the Rambam, so the Mishnah says that you are chayiv for shchutei chutz, says the Gemara. Amai, vayke chatzitza. But I will say, again, why would I be chayiv for the emurin? After all, if the emurin are still attached to the meat, then what? Then I will say that means the emurin are not on the Mizbeach. If the emurin are not on the Mizbeach, then what? That's a chatzitza. If it's a chatzitza, I will say, then why should I be chayiv for ha'allah b'chutz? Amar Shmuel kishapchan. Okay, Shmuel gives a simple answer. You turn the meat over. So therefore, it's not the meat part that's sitting on top of the mizbeach, but rather it's the emurin part that's sitting on top of the mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afilu temeshal hafkan." Even if he didn't turn it over, it's still okay. V'hamani, who's a pain, does this reflect? Rabbi Shimon, he da amra afilu helu ala sela chayiv. Both to listen to this. So second possibility is this reflects over Rabbi Shimon. Both remember we had this 2 days ago. What for shchutei chutz, for halah b'chutz, What is the vehicle of offering? Do you need a mizbeach, or is even a stone enough? So the Gemara says this reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says you can even offer it up outside of the Beis Hamikdash on a stone, and therefore again, I will say once it's a stone, not a mizbeach, that means all of the halachos of mizbeach also are set aside, which means chatzitza is set aside as well. Rav says min b'mino eino chotzeis. Rav says, we'll say simpler answer that there's no chatzitza. Why? Because it's min b'mino. We'll say again, two items of the same min do not serve as a chatzitza, right? Therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, they're both part of the animal. And even though, again, they have two different identities, therefore, because it's the same min, they don't serve a chatzitza. We'll say, this halacha, by the way, just of min b'mino eino chotzeitz, just how this comes up very often. Now, the halacha is totally unrelated to zvach, absolutely nothing to do, total tangent, but just the same concept, which is actually very halacha l'maisa. But you know, the halacha is that by tulin, you're not supposed to have a chatzitza between your body and the tefillin. That applies to the bayis and ideally to the ritzua as well. But more importantly, the bayis. The bayis is supposed to rest directly on your skin. That's why, again, a person has to be careful. If there's shirt sleeve or anything else, there's an interesting shot in the poskim. What happens, you know, depending on how you put on tefillin. But what happens if you take your ritzua, and as you're winding your ritzua around your bicep, your ritzua goes under the bayis. So now, again, my ritzua is sitting underneath. I'm a lefty. Right? Your ritzua is sitting underneath your bayis, so between your bicep and the bayis. So is one yotze the mitzvah of tefillin like that? So the way we paskin is yes. Why? Because of the concept of min b'mino eino chotzeitz. Because at the end of the day, they're both tefillin. They're both tefillin. Therefore, again, the presence of the ritzua underneath the bayis does not serve as a chatzitza between the bayis and my skin. Now, it's not ideal. Obviously, we try to avoid it. We'd like the bayis to rest directly on the bicep. But if the ritzua does go under it, ultimately, again, it is not a chatzitza. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Mishnah. Mincha shelo nikmitza v'griva. So we'll listen to this. Let's say you have a karba mincha. The kmitza was not removed from it. The kmitza was not removed. So mincha shelo nikmitza v'griva b'chutz. And it was offered up outside the base. Meitash pater. Ultimately, again, it's pater. Now we'll say, why is that? Because the mincha that has not had the kmitza removed is not fit to be offered on the Mizbeach. Because it's not fit to be offered on the Mizbeach, therefore what? One is not chayiv for offering it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, Kamtza, v'chazar kamtza l'socha. Well, so let's say you took out the kmitza, and then what happens? The kmitza got mixed back in with the mincha, then what's the halacha? V'kriva b'chutz, and you offer it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ultimately, again, chayiv would be chayiv, because it will say, again, such a mincha could be offered up inside the Beis HaMikdash as well. Says the Gemara, I don't send va'amai, libat li shirayim lekomets. So we'll say, asks the Gemara, interesting idea. Why don't we say that when the komets gets mixed back in with the rest of the mincha, that the mincha should go and be mevato the komets? In other words, why wouldn't we just say it gets since it's mixed back in with the rov, that it's bottle? To which the Gemara says, "Zera nemra haktara b'komets, nemra haktara b'shirayim." It says the word haktara by the komets, and it says haktara by the shirayim. It says shirayim represents the remainder of the mincha after the komets has been removed. Mahaktaras komets in komets mevatel chavero. We'll say just as by the haktara of the komets. So one komets ultimately again is not mevatel. It's not mevatel. It's the shirayim. Af haktar shirayim in shem mevatel as a komets. So Trebo say the haktar shirayim, the shirayim is not mevatel the komets as well. Good. So we'll say good. Quick and simple. So that's what I'll say. That's halacha. Again, no machlokis over here. If you offer up the mincha without taking the komets, that's chayiv for Allah b'chutz. If the komets gets mixed back in, you can still go ahead and offer up the mincha. And therefore, if you were to offer it up outside the basement, it should be chayiv as well. Mishnah. Ha komets v'halavona shikriv es echad mehen b'chutz. So let's listen to this. So now komets, remember komets refers to the portion removed from the mincha, like we were just talking about before. Levon, Rabbi Osei, is also the frankincense, which is offered together with the mincha. Shekriv es echad mehen b'chutz. So now you offered one of them outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, understand what's happening over here. Look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. It's the last of the shortest lines in Rashi. HaKometz v'alavona shel minchas nedava. So we're talking about over here that somebody is offering up a minchas nedava. Shnehen matirin es shiareha la'achila. So the halacha is, for this minchas nedava, in order for the Kohanim to eat the leftover, we call the shirayim. of the mincha, you have to offer up the kometz and the lavona. You need both of these offered up. So the Mishnah now says as follows, that if you offered up one of them, remember it's all talking about bachutz, if you offered up either the kometz or the lavona, bachutz, chayiv. So we'll say the Rabban of the Tanakhama says you're chayiv, Rabbi Eliezer poter at shiakir v'sashini. We'll say now this is Rabbi Eliezer the Shitaso, that Rabbi Eliezer constantly holds that you are only chayiv for shchute or halah bachutz if you do all the matirin, if you offer up all the necessary sacrificial parts. But at the end of the day, if you only offered up one part, you would not be chayiv for ha'alah b'chutz. Therefore, in this case of Rabosei, with the minchas nedava, in order for it to be permitted, requires both the offering of the kometz and the lavona. So the Rabbanan say, if you did one, you're going to be chayiv. Rabbi Eliezer says, even if you only did one, you're pater until you do both. Echa b'fnim ve'echa b'chutz chayiv. Rabosei, so again, whether this was done inside, Rashi says, echa b'fnim, let's say you did the kometz inside the Beis HaMikdash and the Lavona outside the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv. You will be chayiv. Rashi says, shezeh gamar ubot haloi hakol. So since you did the final completing avodah outside the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately again you will be chayiv. Shnei bazichi Lavona. We'll say if you have the two, literally again, two ladles or two spoons of frankincense, this is talking about said by the lechem haponim. Rashi says over here, it's a second wide line in Rashi. Shnei bazichi levona, Rashi says, matirin lechem haponim. These are the items which ultimately, again, permit the consumption of the lechem haponim. Shekrives echem mehem bachutz. That ultimately you offered up one of the spoons outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Chayiv. So once again, Rabbanan say you'll be chayiv. Rabbi Eliezer poter achiakrives hasheni. Rabbi Eliezer says that what? You will be poter ultimately until you go ahead and you offer up the second one. Echad bifnim ve'echad bachutz. What happens if you offered up one spoonful inside the Beis HaMikdash, one spoonful outside? What's the halacha? Chayiv. In that case, you will be chayiv. So by Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So what's Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha has the following kasha. Kometz, mahu shiyatir kinegdo b'shirayim. So this is actually an interesting question. So when it comes to the kometz, look at Rashi, which is one of the first Rashi in the Gemara, four lines down in the wide lines. Hikter kometz levado, al menas lahatir chati shayim borim l'chalka. So we said before that under normal circumstances, if you're going ahead and you're offering up a minchas nedava, so in order for that, in order for the shirayim to be mutter, you have to offer up what? The kometz and the levona. What happens if you only offered up the kometz? So does that permit some amount of the mincha for consumption? In other words, we'll say, if you have two matirin for a particular karban, does the performance of one of them essentially permit some of the karban for consumption while allowing the rest to ultimately remain aser? So again, in this minchas nedava, there are two things which allow the kohanim to eat it. You have to offer up the kometz, you have to offer up the levona. Let's say I just did the kometz. Does that permit 50% of the shirayim for kohanic consumption? So the Gemara says, Mishra Shari, so do we say ultimately again that the performance of one of the matirin ultimately again permits a corresponding amount of shirayim? O kalushi miklosh. Or I will say, do we say, no, the whole thing remains usur, just the performance of one of the matirin lessens the isser, or minimizes the isser just a bit. So aliba deman. So I'll say in accordance with who? I aliba Rabbi Meir. If you want to say it's according to Rabbi Meir, da amar mefaglin b'chatzi matir. So Rabbi Meir holds that halacha lemaisa, you could create partial pigle. You could create partial pigle. We actually had this before, so we spent a lot of time on this. Mefaglin b'chatzi matir. You could go ahead and create partial pigle. If you look at Rashi, mefaglin b'chatzi matir. Pigel b'kometz o b'levona. So say Rabbi Meir says that if you go out and you have a machshavas pigel with one part of the matir, you could actually affect pigel in one part. So according to that, I will say so mishra shari. So easy. So according to Rabbi Meir, says that you could do partial pigel. If you could do partial pigel, then what? You could do a partial matir as well. Say that you can't do partial pigul, then by definition we would say that you also can't partially permit shirayim. Ella, the Gemara says, Ella alibud Rabbi Eliezer. Versus the Gemara says, rather we must be talking about the current Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer kirabbanan sirli. Rabbi Eliezer holds like the rabbanan. The amar ein mefaglin bechatzi matir. Rabbi Eliezer holds like the rabbanan. We'll say holds that partial pigul cannot be accomplished. If partial pigul cannot be accomplished, then what? Then halacha lamaisa partial matir can't be accomplished either. Ella aliba dirabbanan dahacha mai. Rather, Rabbi Eliezer, according to the rabbanan in this particular subject, what is the halacha? Mishra shari. Do we say that when you perform one of the matirim, it goes ahead and permits a corresponding amount of shiraim, oh kalish miklash, or do we say no? The entire shiraim will say it remains asr until both matirim are performed. So what does the performance of one matir do? It lessens the isr just by a bit, which the Gemara says, teku. So we'll say, so we're not sure. We're not sure exactly if so. In this case over here, the minchas nedava, where you perform one of the matirim, either the komets or the lavona, does it permit a corresponding 50% of the shirayim, or does it say the shirayim are still usher? It just goes ahead and what lessens the iser. Take ufiliyah navi. Next, hazoik mikzas dam bachutz. We'll say, here we go. So let's say again, a person does one of the sprinklings of blood on the outside. So let's say again, we're talking about over here one of the kabanos that has multiple blood sprinklings, and you only do some of the sprinklings bachutz on the base. Chayif, we'll say, so what's the halacha? The halacha is that you're chayif, right? Rabbi Hussein, remember, this ultimately, again, is according, Rashi points out, this is according to, it sounds like it's according to the Rabbanon, although we're going to see in the Gemara that it could be even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Hussein, the idea over here is as follows. So if you did part of the avodah, did part of the sprinkling, you're going to be chayif. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Av hamenasik meachag bachag bachutz chayiv. We'll say a very interesting case. Rabbi Eliezer says, we'll say, so remember again, on Sukkis, there was a special nesach, a special libation called Nisuch Hamayim. The only water libation we had on the Beis Hamikdash was done on Sukkis. So Rabbi Eliezer says that if you go ahead and you do the water libation for Sukkis, on Sukkis, outside of the Beis Hamikdash, you will be chayiv. Okay? Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Shiyare Hadam Shekrivu Bachutz Chayiv. Also Rabbi Nechemya says that if you take the leftover blood and you go ahead and you sprinkle it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Shiyare Hadam, Rashi says, Shal Chatos Hatu'unin Shvichal Yisod. Now Rashi understands this to be the case as follows. When I'm taking Chatos blood, we'll say under normal circumstances, what happens with Chatos blood? You take the remainder of the blood and you have to pour it by the Yisod, you have to pour it by the base of the Mizbeach. So that blood, if you were to go ahead and take it outside of the Beis HaMikdash and sprinkle it, you would be chayiv. Now why is it? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Shikr b'chutz chayiv, dekasav shirayim ma'akvim. Hilchok miskabla bifnim uzrika gmurei. Now, both say, so we're going to see Rabbi Nechemiah is of the opinion that the pouring out of the shirayim by the base of the mizbeach is ma'akif, is an integral part of the avoda, and therefore, again, if you do it outside, you will be chayiv for hakrava bochutz. Good. Amar Rava, umoda Rabbi Elazar bedamim. So also Rava says, and Rabbi Elazar agrees in the case of blood. Now, what is this talking about? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Va'afilu bechatos apnimios daha." So we'll say now. Remember, let's go back for just a moment. The Mishnah began with a statement. What was the statement? That even if you have a karban that has multiple blood offerings, multiple sprinklings, and you did one of them outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv. Now, we'll remember again, there's no machlokes in that statement. Everyone seems to agree. Now, that's very strange, because if you notice again, the last number of Mishnayos of Avos have all followed a pattern. What was the pattern? The pattern was that the Rabbanan say that even if you do a partial avoda outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you'll be chayiv. And Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, different yourselves, disagrees every single time and says, no, the only time you'll be chayiv is when you do a complete avoda outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But if it's a partial avoda, you will not be chayiv. Yet, over here, when it comes to blood, Rabbi Eliezer agrees. He agrees, and he says, even a partial sprinkling, ultimately, again, one will be chayiv. Now, why is that? Now, look at Rashi. Umod Rabbi Elazar v'damim, v'afilu b'chatos ha'pnimios, doha b'fnim im nishpach ha'dam achar shenosan matana achos, mahanyo Hach di yava, u maybe par acher umascha mevakom shepasak. So we'll say, watch this. Well, I'll explain that in just a moment. Amar Rav Amod Rabbi Elazar Damim Disanya. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, mimakom shepasak umaschil. We'll say, listen to this. Because in the case when it comes to blood applications, the halacha is as follows. We actually saw this earlier. Let's say the kohen is doing the avoda, whatever avoda it is. So he's talking about chatos pnimios, right? The chatos done inside. Yom Kippur, other types of chatos. And we'll say what happens. The kohen starts the hazos, the sprinkling, and the blood spills. The blood spills. So they no longer have enough blood to go ahead and finish off the hazos. So we'll say, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? You shecht another animal, get more blood, and pick up where you left off. Now the fact that you pick up where you left off tells me what? Tells me that the initial act of sprinkling that I did are bona fide and valid. Are bona fide and valid, which tells you, we'll say, that when it comes to hazos, it's not an all or nothing proposition. See, up until now, Rabbi Elazar was saying, an avoda is only an avoda if it's complete and intact. Therefore, if you do a partial avoda outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you are not chayev for that. The exception to that rule is hazos, the sprinkling of the blood, where we see that even a partial hazar, we'll say, is affected. I mean, in other words, I still have to do the rest. The idea is, we'll say, see, I would have thought, Rabbi Elazar says, I would have thought that when the blood spills in the middle and you don't have the chance to finish up the hazos, and now you have to shecht another animal, what should you have to do? What should you have to do? Start from the beginning. But you don't. Which shows you that each act of hazah is significant in and of itself. Therefore, Belazar will agree that even if you do one act of sprinkling outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv. Therefore, no disagreement of Osei in that case. Next, Rabbi Elazar Omer Afa Menasech Me'achag Bochutz. Remember again, Rabbi Elazar agrees that if you do the Nisa Chamam, the sprinkling of the water outside the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv. Am Rabbi Yochanan Shlom Minachem Yudfa. So the Gemara says as follows. Brachat Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaro. Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Menachem Yudfa. Rabbi say Yudfa, Rashi says over here, is Demin Yudefes. He is from the city of Yudefes, or Yudefes. That's the name of the city. Okay? So Rabbi Nachum Yudfa. Rabbi Lazar, Beshitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Amra. Hosei Rabbi Lazar is quoting the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe. Both remember again, Rabbi Lazar was one of the second round of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. After Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim die out, the Gemara says, he gave smicha to five new Talmidim, right? These are the five Torah that helped. Rabbi Lazar was one of them. So Rabbi Lazar, b'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Amra, da'amar niso chamayim da'oraisa. Rabbi Lazar says that you're chayiv for niso chamayim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe, who says that Niso Chamayim, the water libation of Sukkis, is Doraisa. This Sanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Unisacheha. But say, this is actually very interesting. The Pasuk says, Usiir Chatos Echa Mavad Olas Atomid, Uminchasa Unisacheha. Now, Nisacheha, we'll say, could be understood in two ways. It's Nesach, singular, or it could also be understood as plural. Nisachim. B'shnei Nisuchim HaKosav Medaber. Torah is teaching me that there are two different types of libations. Really? We only know of one type of libation. So, Echa Nisuch HaMayim Ve'esa Nisuch HaYayim. What are the two libations of both sides? One is a wine libation, and one is a water libation. You'll say, when is the water libation? When is the Nisuch HaMayim done? That's Sukkis. So the Gemara says, therefore, Rabbi Elazar holds like his Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, and therefore, he holds halacha lemaisa that if you were to do a water libation, not a water libation, the water libation, outside of the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkis, one would be chayiv for that. So Rabbi Yochanan, if that's the case, that we're learning out nisuch hamayim from nisuch hayayin, then why don't you say as follows? Imala halon shloshes lugin, afkan shloshes lugin. Just like Rabbi Osai, by Nisuch HaYayin, what's the halacha? You need three lug. In our Rabbi, we already said before, when we say you need three lug, what does that really mean? You need a minimum of three lugin, right? Remember again, that's the smallest nesach. It goes up to six. But just like by Nisuch HaYayin, you need three lugin. Afkan shlush lugin. So to Rabbi Osai, I should say that what? By Nisuch HaMayim, you also need three lugin. Yet we know, Baha Rabbi Lazar, Rebbe Lazar me'achak ka'amar. Yet I will say, Rebbe Lazar, when he talks about ultimately again doing nisach after the Beis Hamikdash, he says hamenaseich me'achag. We'll say the Gemara is going to say me'achag means what? Me'achag means any amount of water, which sounds like nisach hamayim does not have the same shear as nisach hayayim. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi almost right across. V'har Rebbe Lazar me'achag kamar v'apu d'pachos mishloshes lugin v'ika l'man damer sukkah b'luk hayam enaseich. So we'll say, I don't understand. If I'm learning out nisach hamayim from nisach hayayim from the same word, nisach eho, then just like nisach hayayim is three lugin, so nisach hamayim should also be three lugin, yet we know it's not true. The Rebbe Lazar says, even one lug, right? Even one lug of water is enough. Imala halon b'shayim osashana, afkan b'shayim osashana. Furthermore, again, it will say, if I'm learning out nisach hamayim from nisach hayayim, I should say, just like nisach hayayim applies all the days of the year, then what? Then what? Nisach hamayim should also apply. Why is it only limited to Sukkis? Why is it limited to Sukkis? Why isn't it all the days of the year? So afkan b'shayim osashana. Rebbe Lazar b'chag ka'amar, and yet Rebbe Lazar holds that what Rebbe will say. The only time you do nisach hamayim is when? Is halacha lemaisa on Sukkis. To which the Gemara says, you're right. But, ishtamitze had am Ravasi. He forgot the statement of Ravasi. What did Ravasi say? Rabbi said, Dam Ravasi, am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishem Nechunya, ish bakas, beis chorson. So Rabbi said, Ravasi, sinem Rabbi Yochanan, sinem Rabbi Nechunya, ish bakas, beis chorson. As eser nitions, arava, v'niso chamayim, halocha lemoshe misinai. So Rabbi said, he forgot about the ruling, that there are certain things, Rabbi said, that we know, because they are a halacha lemoshe misinai. For example, Eser Netios, we'll say the case of Eser Netios is the case of where you have 10 saplings. The halacha is during Shemitah, you're not allowed to work the ground. That we know. Not only that, but already certain things from Chodesh Elul, you can't begin to go ahead and work the field. However, the halacha lemoshe misinai is if you have Eser Netios, which are 10 saplings, in an area of a base saw, which is an area, the halacha is that if you are permitted to go ahead and tend to them, because if you don't, it will result in a hefsid merubah. So that's one of the halachas l'moshe misinai that you're allowed to do. Arava, we'll say arava refers to also the avoda of sukkis, where they would go ahead and they would do the hakafa around the mizbeach with the aravos. Right, that's where they would get the aravos. The Mishnah Sukkah says from Motza. Like Motza, these very tall aravos that when you would lean them against the mizbeach, they actually would stand up and wilt over the mizbeach. They would lean over the mizbeach. That's arava and nisuch hamayim. So the Gemara says, you're right. You're saying good. We learn out the concept of nisuch hamayim. The biblical allusion, the remez to the concept of nisuch hamayim, we'll say, is found where? Is ultimately found in the word of nisacha, which tells that there's more than one type of nesach. The details of it, however, are not learned from that word. The existence is alluded to in that word, but the details of nisuch hamayim, we'll say, is totally and fundamentally rooted in the halacha l'moshe misinai. And the halacha l'moshe misinai tells me that it's only done on sukkis, and the halacha l'moshe misinai tells me that what? That it does not require three lugin like a regular nesach. Halacha l'moshe misinai. So Tan Rabbanan, we'll do one more line, then we'll stop for today. Tan Rabbanan, hamenaseich shloshes lugin mayim b'chag b'chutz chayiv. So we'll say, now the Braisa teaches as follows. If one did the nisuch hamayim of three lugin outside of the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkis, one will be chayiv. Rabbi Lazar b'Shimon Omer, im ala'an l'shem chag chayiv. Rabbi Lazar b'Shimon says that if you filled up the water for the purpose ultimately again of Sukkis, then you will be chayiv. Ma'amin, I will say, what exactly is the nafkamina between these two particular epinars? What exactly is it that Rabbi Lazar b'Shimon is coming to add? To which the Gemara says, Ma'amin, I'm Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, b'yesh shir b'mayim kemiflegi. Interesting enough, Rabbi Lazar, what they're coming to argue about is there a particular shir for the mayim, for ultimately, again, the water of nisuch hamayim? Look at Rashi just a moment. B'yesh shir l'mayim. The Kamar Tanakama, hamenaseich shloshes lugin chayiv. So the Tanakama says that if you offered up three lugin of water outside the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv. Who had din yoser l'shloshes lugin? The yesh bechlam asayim mono. V'af agab dimalinu b'kli godol kachinu kli, de'in shir l'me'achag l'malo. V'asra belozer l'meymar, v'hu shemilam l'shem chag, k'derech miluan, tainu shloshes lugin. So it's interesting, the way the Rashi doesn't say in the this machlokes is as follows. What happens if you fill up a kli of more than three lugin for nisuch hamayim? Ultimately, again, does the entire amount of water become consecrated for that purpose or not? So we'll say, so the Tanakama seems to hold that halacha lemaisa, any amount of water that you go ahead and you dedicate and you set aside for nisuch hamayim, ultimately will become consecrated for that amount. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says no. It is three lugin and no more. And even if you go out and you fill up more, it is only three lugin of water that is dedicated ultimately again for the purpose of nisach hamayim and no more. So the Gemara says that's b'yesh shir b'mayim kemiflegi. Tanakama holds there's no shir. In other words, there's a minimum shir of three lugin, but you could dedicate or you could consecrate as much as you want. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says no, three and no more. So we'll stop over here for today. We're going to continue with this statement in Mirat Hashem tomorrow as well.